Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a good one out there today. Another hot one to have. Hopefully you were able to beat the heat yesterday because it got hot. I mean, I was sweating through my clothes walking around the neighborhood, Joe. So that's how you know it was a hot one yesterday. It will be the same today. We've talked about this building so many times, Joe. And then last night, you start to see social media and if you're downtown, you see the smoke everywhere. A fire destroys two cobblestone buildings that had been right smack dab in the middle of a controversy for the last several years. I saw that, and I don't know, Joe, I was not terribly surprised this happened. You know, we spoke with a lot of people on this earlier this morning, including the owner of the building. You just heard a part of that conversation, Daryl Karen, with what he said. 90 degrees outside. You felt how hot it was outside. And with just the state of those old buildings, whatever was in it, it's got to be 100 degrees inside there. Who could be surprised that this happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was not surprising yesterday, and when I first heard about the fire on Cobblestone, I go, come on, they can't be those two buildings. They can't be one of those buildings that we've been talking about, and it's both of them.
Said it's obviously those two buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who is surprised today? If you've walked by those buildings at all in the last year and a half, really, since the blizzard tore down, but even before that, since the scaffolding was up, who is surprised today that you wake up one morning and those buildings, they're basically gone? I mean, I'm actually surprised that as much of it is still standing this morning.
That is surprising as well. Yeah.
But, like, how could you be surprised? It was a pile of rubble in the back. Every time I walk, I go that way to go walk into Sabres games, Joe. And without fail, every single time, I would hear the same things. They'd look at the poster of the skyscraper and say, what is that? And I'd hear people look at the pile of bricks that was the collapse of one of those buildings and go, whoa, like what's going on over there? Every single time. How could you be surprised that those buildings are no longer standing?
Yeah, I mean, they were an issue. And now they'll be torn down. But this was a problem that when we talked about this, you know, hey, I've got nothing against preservationists. I just want to say that. But there was really nothing to save in these buildings, if you ask me. Again, I understand they have historical value, but this, you walk by it in the last few years, there was nothing. Let the guy tear it down. I don't think the tower was ever going to happen, but let the guy tear it down. You wouldn't have had this happen, which, by the way, could have been worse. You know, could have spread to more buildings. Luckily, it didn't. Could have spread to the cobblestone.
There's a lot of businesses that are active.
Yeah,
right there now.
Yeah, it is an coming back district in Buffalo, and just to let those sit there for this to finally happen again. I don't think the tower is ever going to happen, but let the guy, if he wanted to tear it down, let him tear it down. You wouldn't have had this last night.
Well, I don't think there's an 803-0930. You have any thoughts on this? We heard from all sides of the dispute. We heard from the building's owner this morning. We heard from the councilman. We heard from the director of Preservation Buffalo Niagara, all on this topic throughout the morning. If you were listening, you have any thoughts, let us know. 803-0930. I don't think this is for years and years and years. I mean, you could go back that way, but this is really an issue to me in the last year and a half. This is an issue since the blizzard. Since that building collapsed, I think you look at it at that point and say, okay, we're not saving. The time to save this was by, and I don't think it was not a, how do I want to say it? It was a noble effort. Let's just say that. It was a noble effort to try and save that building. I don't fault the preservationists. I don't fault anyone in that movement whatsoever with however many years they wanted to say, okay, this should remain as close to original as possible. We need to find some sort of reuse. I have no fault in that because I generally agree. I think it's a cool-looking neighborhood. I think you should have buildings that fit that neighborhood in Cobblestone. It's a nice little district. Hopefully you get everything online running as something, whether, you know, restaurant, retail, bar, apartments, condos, you name it, whatever it is. let's get it all going. Totally agree. But that should have ended a year and a half ago. When that building collapsed, I think that's when you say, okay, you know, whatever we were trying to do, it didn't work out here. And to what you were saying, Joe, with the owner of this building, he owns the building.
Exactly.
Now, I'm totally for putting some sort of, and you would have this, parameters on what that building should look like. Because that's what we do everywhere, right? I mean, think of the building they put down on Elmwood that replaced, all those rows of homes and turned into how, like, where Home of the Hits was and all these. How big of a fight that was for so many years. Well, it should look like this. It should, you know, you're trying to get something that fits the neighborhood. Now, does that fit the neighborhood that's there? That's debatable. But still, there's always a give and take over what something should look like to make it not seem so out of place. That should absolutely happen. But you let him go forward with the plans. At the end of the day, there's somebody there who says they want to make something of it. And who is anybody to say, oh, it'll just be, you know, we're not going to let this just be made a parking lot. That's what it has to say. When the owner has never said he wants to make it a parking lot.
Right.
And Joe, I think that there's less of a chance of that skyscraper being built right there than there is of us putting a hat on the 33.
Yes.
But if somebody says they want to build it, who is anybody to stop them?
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say if this building collapsed a year and a half ago because of a weather event, then it probably wasn't in the best shape. And I do think this is, you know, Mitch Nowakowski, a council member, came on and said it's been a 15-year battle. I would argue, again, this is just me making this up because it was so weak that it collapsed during the blizzard. Probably the last 5 years. I think that battle should have been done. And I do think that's what gives some preservationists a bad name. Again, I have nothing against them. I wish we would have saved more buildings. I wish these preservationists would have been around in 1901 when they tore down most of the buildings from the World's Fair and said, yes, I realize they were temporary structures, but we should keep one or two. That's a different story. But when you hold on to stuff like this, when it really was, as Brian said, last year and a half, a pile of bricks, I think that gives the preservationists a bad name. I'm all for keeping historic things that have a use. But this, especially in the last year and a half, did not have the use. I don't think it was worth the fight.
It's really the last year and a half to me. Since the collapse. It's a good idea. You want to keep the flavor of the neighborhood. And, you know, almost to that point, you could have kept the flavor of the neighborhood even if you wanted to build a whole new structure. There are things, you know, we were speaking with Mitch Nowakowski this morning, and, you know, he mentioned, you're going to now try and replace something that can't be replicated. That's why you want to save it in the first place. And, you know, this is one of those instances where I've got to raise my hand because I listened to this. It said truthfully so many times. And there are some instances where it's just wrongly applied. Every time I remember being with Brian Higgins inside the Central Terminal, and you know, he would say, look at it, this cannot be replicated. And I looked at him and go, you are right. You know, this with the materials and like all, how ornate it is and how big it is and everything like that. You look around what you're seeing, and this would not be replicated today. Like, spot on. There's a lot of buildings. If something like this ever happened to City Hall, you know, remember there was a fire in City Hall not that long ago?
That's right.
And someone tried to throw a burning crate in the City Hall not that long ago. That is a building that could never be replicated. You know, I have an old postcard on my wall up in the hallway upstairs, and it, you know, old postcards from around Buffalo, and it says Buffalo's new $2 million City Hall. So that's what it cost back then to build it. I don't think you could. I think all those bollards they put around City Hall might have cost $2 million.
Yeah, maybe.
you could not replicate something like that. A lot of the old churches that we see around, like, you're just never going to get that again. That does not apply in my mind. Again, this is me speaking. This is my personal opinion. That does not apply to these buildings in the Cobblestone District. They have a great look, a great old historic look. it would not be the same to put a new building with a brick facade up. You could tell the difference between something that is of its time and something that's a new build. But to say it can't be replicated, I mean, these aren't the grand, big, marble, ornate, you know, limestone, whatever structures that we're talking about here. No, it is a brick building. In this case, I believe it can be replicated in a way that saves the whole neighborhood aesthetic that you've got going on.
Yes.
Because it's not every building, right? You still have some of the original buildings. You have one that was very nicely by the Pagulas.
That's right.
Redone on the opposite corner of that block. That doesn't apply to this building. And one of the other things he said was that, you know, oh, the neighborhood was suffering a loss. Like, Joe, this is unlike what happened earlier this week at the Old Pink. I don't think there's going to be a candlelight vigil for the cobblestone buildings by anybody.
No
one's turning out and crying and drinking all day in the cobblestone district. It's almost the same as the Great Northern Grain Elevator, where... How many times, Joe, since that was torn down a year ago, have you thought about the Great Northern Grain Elevator?
This morning when the cobblestone building, that was the first time since it had been completely torn down.
I haven't thought about it at all. I haven't even noticed that it was gone.
No.
Sorry to say.
But that's my thing about, that's what I'm saying, like the Central Terminal, I'm all for. I think they've waited way too long to put the focus on it.
Go smaller scale, the DL&W terminal right behind the building we're talking about. Yes, that should absolutely be maintained, saved, and reused in some way.
But the Central Terminal, and I do realize that the Councilmember Nowakowski is also involved on that. But that is something I think most, if not all, of Western New York is like, yes, let's do something. Let's preserve this building. Let's not let it go to waste like every other structure surrounding the Central Terminal has done over the last 3 or 4 decades. That's where the focus should be. Again, I realize you can do multiple things at one time. I know. But that is something I applaud the efforts for the Central Terminal, and I'm hoping that we do something with that structure. I'm all for that. When you put your focus on this pile of bricks, again, just like the Great Northern Grain Elevator, it's like, we can't save everything. And it's not. There are some things it's not safe to save. This is an example of that.
And I think a little bit of realistic thinking has to go in there, too. You know, say this fire didn't happen, and later this week, a judge ruled in favor of the city, and now it's the city's via eminent domain.
Yeah.
What now?
Yeah, they're going to walk in and go, hey, we can't save this.
Well, then what now? You have to save it. That's the whole reason you took it over from somebody, that you took somebody's property, which should not be taken lightly. It's the whole reason you went in there. Now I'm set to believe that from every report out there, a city that's going to be facing a financial crisis is going to invest millions of dollars to save a building, or that I'm going to find a buyer and developer who wants to buy this building. Keep in mind, there are going to be 80 old churches in Buffalo and throughout Western New York about to go on the market at some point this year, but this is the attractive property, the one that's rubble. It's a pile of bricks.
And you have to tell them they have to preserve that pile of bricks.
And you have to preserve it. You have to put all this work into it. Well, hey, there's a perfectly good bricks in the form of a building over here that's about to be vacant. Can I take that one, please? I don't see any road where this happens quickly at all. The quickest way to make something of that parcel is to let the owner try to do something with it.
Clear it out.
And again, I also don't believe that that skyscraper is going to happen. I've said it a million times. Like, it looks like the most ridiculous thing in the world to me, but who am I to say you can't try? You know what else looks ridiculous to me? The lid on the 33.
Yes.
but who am I to say that you can't try the project?
I'm saying right now, both will never happen. I think in 20 years, the 33 will look exactly as it does today. And in 20 years, that'll be an empty lot.
See, I don't think that. That is a perfect place for somebody to build something new.
As long as this guy owns it, though. It could just be a... I mean, let them clear it out and then, you know...
Well, why would you say that? Now, you've been in Cobblestone, the bar.
Yeah. That's a good point. He didn't build that, though.
Right, but this... He redid the building.
You're right.
It's nice inside.
It is nice inside.
It's a running, functioning business.
Yeah, I've been there 4 years, but yes.
I don't think it's smart to everyone who says parking lot, parking lot, parking lot. Like, is that smart? I mean, sure, you're not building anything, but how much more money could you make off of something there than a parking lot that's only going to be busy 50 times out of an entire year?
No, I mean, I hope he attempts to do something. I'd like to see like the reasonable plan, right? Like, this is reasonably what I'm going to put here. But no, I think he has every right. It's his land. He has every right to try what he wants to attempt. And hey, I'm always for what's better for Buffalo. If he can put something that's thriving, and you know, is it adds to what's already up and coming or coming back, I'm all for it. Like, I root for success, economic success in downtown Buffalo.
I think that, you know, is there another plan? Like, that's the good question to me. Without even looking at the project, you don't even have to look at the proposal for what could be right there to say, hey, look at what's happening over at Canal Side. Look at what's happening with a lot of basically every construction project that isn't the stadium.
Yeah.
Right now, and the financing issues that have been going on and putting a halt to things and saying, maybe the tallest building in Buffalo is not the easiest thing to get off the ground, literally and figuratively, right now climate.
How do you fill it?
Yes. I mean, there's just a lot of questions right there. But again, who am I to say you shouldn't try with your plans?
Hey, I cheer him on. I cheer any business owner, anyone who wants to put business in downtown Buffalo. As I always say, a thriving Buffalo is good for Western New York. Without Buffalo, well, there is a Western New York, but not the same Western New York. So I'm all for a thriving Buffalo and a thriving downtown Buffalo, and I cheer on whatever it is he wants to do.
803-0930, what are you thinking? After that fire, that much more coming up. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. Good morning to you. We're talking about the fire that happened in Cobblestone yesterday, taking down those buildings that have been at the center of a dispute for years and years. And Joe joining us on the line this morning here to talk about a longtime council member in that district, Dave Fronczak. Dave, how are you doing?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, Dave.
Well, let me say this, that it was my legislation that created the Cobblestone Historic District, saving it from total demolition in the 1990s. And I disagree with the statement that the preservationists are at fault. Who is at fault here? It is the owner that's at fault, who did 15 years of demolition by neglect. Now, Beamer, I know you rent your property, and I think, Brian, you may own your own home. If you own your own property or home, what would your neighbor say that for 15 years you let your house fall into disrepair and did absolutely nothing to repair it? You'd be have an inspector coming down to be written up for court. And what these courts could have done in the City of Buffalo Housing Court, they could have heavily fined him or jailed him for neglecting his property, for willful neglect of allowing this historic property, which he bought when it was a historic property. And even if it's not, you have to maintain your property. I've been in that building many times. I knew the previous owner, Ed Rudnitsky. Ed was a blacksmith. It sounds quaint from the 19th century. Did he just make horseshoes for the Amish community? Well, maybe he did, but he also made highly specialized metal products for the National Aeronautics Space Administration because he could make it by hand. They needed special equipment for the astronauts and things of that nature. So it was a fascinating business. I knew Ed very well. His family wanted his legacy preserved in some way. They sold the building. Carr came in there with the intention of never doing anything about it. So, you know, you guys talked about the tower. I agree with you. That tower will never be built. But, you know, let a guy build this tower. Well, he knows what the preservation legislation is that you can't build the tower in that area in the first place. And I might think to allow me to levitate out of the chair I'm sitting in, but as much as I have a delusion that I can levitate out of my chair, I won't. So that project, you know, will never happen. So the fact is that the, you know, council member Novakovsky, who worked in my office, who did speak to Daryl Carr, so he can't say that he never spoke to him, and Bernice Radel, the preservationists, were correct. They're trying to save this building that could have been saved in the when it was a blacksmith shop. It could have been saved. This guy buys it and lets it deteriorate. And that was the willful intent that you and I could not get away with. If I let my house in Fillmore Avenue deteriorate like that, I could end up in jail or certainly heavily fined. So, and I would also suggest that Fire Commissioner Rinaldo should very closely investigate the origins of this fire. I think that's very, very, very important, particularly since it was just a few days before, you know, an appeals court was going to rule. So I think there has to be a very serious investigation about this. But the bad actor in all of this was the negligent, willfully negligent owner that you and I could never allow our property to get to the state that his.
Well, Dave, we'd all love to go back in time. But, you know, in the present day, say if we just went back in time to yesterday at 9:40 in the morning, right? What would the plan have been, right, like for the future of this building? The owner didn't want to save the building. He wanted to knock it down and make something new. Whether that you believe that's the big skyscraper or whatever else that might have been. What would, in the state that building was in, what could the plan have been going forward for the city to do with the property?
Well, you gentlemen can see for yourself. Look at the Ironworks building that's there. It's I guess they have a distillery and a bar. When I was in office, I had a fundraiser there. You had John McKendry's building, that big building that Labatt's took over on the corner. Many of those buildings have been saved and renovated by imaginative developers. If the city went through with eminent domain, what they would have done is put out a request for proposal for a developer to come in.
But let's pump the brakes here for a second, though, Dave. Dave, if yes. This, you know, let's say this would have went through later this week. The current state of the building was, and those are great projects over at Ironworks, over at, you know, right. The now former Labatt House, but they weren't half crumbled. I mean, you walk past that, it was a pile of bricks in the back underneath or right behind that facade that you would have seen on South Park, right? I mean, so how could that have been turned into anything once the city took hold of it?
Well, it would have been a lot easier if the owner was responsible. And the first day he bought it 15 years ago with a short period of time, had a plan to renovate it, which he never did. The owner was never held accountable. He had all of these fake ideas, in my opinion, for that property that were never going to come to pass. And so the fact is he was guilty of deterioration, which is a violation of law. If I gotta create another fault, I'll point to the courts. The courts were too lenient with him for 15 years. The judge didn't do his job, in my opinion, and the community has to suffer.
That was my question, because
a historic area suffering.
Because as Brian said yesterday, I mean, after the blizzard, it pretty much was just a thing of bricks. Like, how much quicker could the city have acted? This has been going on for over a decade. How much quicker could the city have acted to get control of that building when it was still salvageable?
Well, eminent domain tried to work with the developer, but the developer was not an honest actor. He had no intention of working with the city or anybody else. He wanted it to fall apart so he could get a demolition order. And then the blizzard and everything else happened. But he had, like, you know, more than a dozen years prior to that to do something, and he didn't. So nature intervened. And so the fault is not the preservationists or the city, because, you know, Mitch can't just go in there and seize it. And the preservationists just can't take it over. There's a process, because in this country, you know, the government can't just take your land without a process and a plan. So it was a plan of a last resort. And should things have been done earlier? Yes, I think that the judge should have said, you either fix this or you're going to jail. And that never happened. And that would put the fear of God into me, I'll tell you that, if I let my house fall apart.
Well, Dave, appreciate the listen. Appreciate the call this morning. Always great to talk with you and catch up. Dave Fronczak, the former councilman in that district. You can't build a time machine, though.
No.
Like, that is the one thing that you might agree with what Dave said, but at the end, if you put yourself in the moment, you can't build a time machine. So if this wasn't taken care of 10 years ago or whenever, right? It's like everybody knew everybody's intentions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody bought the building. They wanted to tear it down and make something new. The city wanted to save a lot of people wanted to save the building. Then, yeah, something should have been done now or back then, because you reached a point where it was kind of a point of no return a year and a half ago when that building was a pile of rubble. And again, I'm no expert in building construction, but a year and a half ago when that was reduced to a pile of bricks, you breached that point of no return where now you can't turn it into an ironworks or a draft room or something like that, and you got to just do something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this has been going on for 15 years, and you know, Dave's probably right. The guy, you know, the owner was just probably trying to run out the clock until something happened. I mean, it wasn't it was an old building when he bought it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, it's way out of my pay grade, Brian. Eminent domain. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on at the Boulevard. But, I mean, like you said, you can't build a time machine. So where are we now? I mean, we are now to the point where, all right, let's tear this thing down. Let's clear the lot. And let's see what happens. And I will go back to what I said before the break. For what's best for Buffalo, I hope whatever is built there is successful and adds to what is already a coming back cobblestone district. And I wish nothing but the best.
I don't know.
But the woulda, coulda, shoulda was over, as you said, a year and a half ago, if not before that, because I would say if the building was so weak that it was reduced to bricks after a blizzard, it probably was already in a pretty frail state before that.
You know, what did you say when we were talking about pay raises for legislators? What was your solution? Flip over the ballot?
Yeah.
Put it up to a vote?
Put it up to a vote.
I mean, should that not happen with cases like this?
Do you believe that the city should enact eminent domain, yes or no?
And you put it up to a neighborhood vote or something like that, yeah. Because does it make you think of this whole process a little bit differently, these two fires in the past week? You know, you have one. Would anybody have said, you probably, actually, yes. I mean, people would say it about any building. People would say it about this office, probably, that it's a historic building because, you know, we broadcast from here.
Yeah.
And that's, it needs to be.
Historic,
yes,
because us. You and I.
But like, it needs to be saved. This can never be knocked down. This is historic Amherst, New York now for the rest of eternity. You probably have somebody saying that. But nobody is holding, I said this in the last segment, you won't find a candlelight vigil outside these cobblestone buildings the way you did the pink.
No.
And, you know, to what Dave Fronczak said, you know, this was important once upon a time. But does there get to a point where, like, okay, I understand. Everything's important to somebody.
Yes.
But if we point out something like the Great Northern Grain Elevator, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sorry to say,
it wasn't Statler Towers.
Who's going to miss it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if we put the whole conversation, because you can get in the weeds in this in a hurry, and you can have one side or another, and you can talk about the eminent domain, and
no
you can debate
budge.
The pros and cons of that.
Right.
And, you know, whether it should be lawful in the first place to take somebody's property. You can really get in over your head on the nitty-gritty of this. But can we have somebody who's, you know, with 2 feet in reality, just ask the question, when something like this comes up, is anyone going to miss it? Really?
No, it was an eyesore. It was an eyesore. And I guarantee there are people who say, wait, where was that?
It's an eyesore in almost the exact same way the Perry projects are.
Yeah.
Held together by scaffolding, abandoned, something people have to walk through. You're seeing it's a blight on the area. I mean, this is what, you know, and I make the point about the Perry projects all the time. You get off at, that's Louisiana Street, yep. The exit right there.
The
you get off the 190, you got people coming into Buffalo, going to the arena for a game, for a concert, whatever it is, from whether they're at Toronto, who cares where. And they're driving through, and that's the first thing they see when they get off the highway in Buffalo. And you wonder why people from out of town go, ugh, yeah. Buffalo.
I drove through abandoned buildings just to
what?
Get here.
What? Are you kidding me? Like, what a junk heap. Yep. Like, are you kidding? And the same thing happened with this building. And you can debate all day on who's responsible for it being in that shape. And you know what? It's going to take an adult in the room to stand up and say, hey, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. This is what it is today.
We got to live in 2024.
This is what it is today. Who's going to miss it? Show of hands. Anybody. Anybody. It's what we did with the Great Northern Grain Elevator, finally. Is anyone going to miss it? Oh, it was on the cover of American Scientific in 1900. You still have the magazine? Good. We got the picture. All right. Yeah, all knock right. it down yep. and let's do whatever. Let's move forward. And I, again, when it comes to certain buildings, 100% you save it. I love that we have a cobblestone district. This is not City Hall. This is not the Central Terminal. This is not the DLNW. This is not the entire block of cobblestone buildings.
Right.
It's a square brick building. It has some history. You could do it so it look, I mean, no, it's not going to look exactly the same, but you could mimic the outside of it if you wanted to.
And should.
And make it look something where when you have people from out of town walk around the city of Buffalo, they don't point and laugh at us.
Yes. No, I can't disagree with anything you said.
You don't have to make it look like a strip mall, as everyone loves to say. It doesn't have to be a parking lot, as everyone loves to say.
It can blend in.
It can be nice.
Yes.
You can put something nice there. You know what was there? Something that was not nice.
No.
Something
ruin. That I don't know anyone.
It looked like Beirut.
Yeah.
In the middle of Buffalo. So, yeah. Somebody needs to remove themselves from this back and forth argument and just say, who's going to miss the decaying building?
And I appreciate the arguments on both sides, but it is time to move on. And, I mean, it was time to move on before yesterday. Now, clearly, time to move on. And I will say again, I wish nothing but the best to whatever the owner wants to put there.
Go to the phone, 803-0930.
Tom?
Is this Tom?
Yes, it is.
All right, Tom, in Amherst, you're on WBEN.
Great. Thanks. Just a couple of things. You and I disagree a little bit on the Great Northern, Brian, but that's okay. I think what could have been done, here's what, in a nutshell, I think what happens, and it's very, very frustrating because I love the architecture in Buffalo. Love it. Didn't appreciate it until I was older, but now that I do, I can't get enough of it. And we have some. That was a very unique property. But the thing is that bothers me the most is that, you know, we have building inspectors, and I don't know exactly what their job is, but it sounds like in the name, inspect buildings. So why? I drive by buildings every day that I look at and say, that building looks terrible. Nobody, no building inspector ever sees it. I find it hard to believe. And so these companies, these individuals that own historic buildings are allowed to let them fall into such a horrible state of disrepair that it would take millions of dollars to get them back up and running and usable. And then they say, well, we can't afford that. We're just going to have to tear it down, which is totally unfair. Now, one other thing, too, I'll mention. Look at Riverworks. What was Riverworks before it was Riverworks? Grain elevators. So the Great Northern, had it been preserved, renewed, refreshed, and marketed the correct way, marketed, could have been something far greater than it ever was under the owner's ownership period.
Tom, I love your call, and I hope you listen because we're up against the end of the show here. Thanks for calling in. I hope you listen because this is my response, because I don't, in theory, disagree with what you are saying. But we have to remember that we live in the real world, right? So, for example, like my idea for those cobblestone buildings that just burned down yesterday, you know what would have been awesome to put right there? That would have been a great place and a great tourist attraction. Imagine if we had, in the shadow of General Mills, a General Mills museum. A museum and store. Just like kind of what they did in Rochester. Rochester and the Genesee Brewery, it's busy every time I'm there. They've got something going on. They built like a right next to the big brewery, because you can't take people through there. It's a big industrial brewery. They built like a little, a mini brewery with a museum and store and then a restaurant up top. Like imagine if you had the General Mills. It could be an attraction that would bring people. Like there are cereal. Jerry Seinfeld just made a movie about Kellogg's. Like, you know, there are cereal fans who would come to Buffalo and want to go check that out, and then you check out something else. Or if you were ever at the arena for an event, that would be a place to go and see right next door. Like, that would be a really cool. You know the problem with this, Joe? I'm not General Mills.
No.
I'm just some guy. And in theory, everything is great, but you have to have people who want to invest the money and make everything happen. And I'm, listen, to Tom, I'm not saying that what you're idea is wrong in any way, shape, or form, but you have to have somebody, you'd have to have people make it so that, and people forget, before Riverworks went on, there was a big push by General Mills for that not to happen.
Yes.
Because it's in the middle of a very busy industrial zone. At one point, a train hit a car. There was a big explosion there shortly after Riverworks opened up, because it's heavy industry. In a picture-perfect world in your head, anything can happen. In reality, which is where we need to keep our minds, only some things can happen.
Yeah, in reality, you can't save everything. We don't have the money in Buffalo to have the people that can buy the buildings to save it. You can't save everything in Buffalo. You got to be realistic. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know what the hell the Great Northern Elevator was until the hole was in it.
We've got 80 churches to reuse here.
And a majority of them will sit empty.
So we've got our hands full. The pile of bricks was not high on my list to save. I'm sorry. Maybe we'll be talking about this more tomorrow, Joe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we got David coming up next. We've got the news with Lucas and so much more. We'll both be back here tomorrow on WBEN.